7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode. And as always, I'm here with Tim and Tom. Guys, how's it going?
Going good, player. How are you? How's that breeze treating you?
It's going well.
I wish you could all see Josh right now. It's like watching The Sopranos back in the day where that crazy uncle with the hairy chest and the gold chain just
it's
sticking
not even
out.
That hairy.
It's pretty hairy. And your gold chain's kind of crazy. I can't even concentrate right now.
Your chest looks like my balls. It's just, it's hairy, it's shiny, it's just not good. I don't know why you decided it was a good idea to wear a tracksuit with no shirt on underneath you.
We're getting back to basics, all right? We're back. We've been off for two weeks.
So your basics is becoming an Italian lesbian?
And I am ready to get this show underway. And no, that is not what my thought process was.
All right, Tony Soprano, let's do this.
All right, again. You guys can always check us out on Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim.
I'm not going to lie to you. At Pony Keg Tim's gone.
Is it?
Yeah. Deleted? I kept getting a lot of spam. I wasn't on there enough, so just find me at MMA News _Tim.
Was that Ren's wife trying to get a hold of you still?
It was Ren's wife trying to apply me again. No, only one, sweetheart.
You guys can always ask us your fantasy questions, ponykegsports@gmail.com. But with that being said, let's kick this off talking about the recap of NFL week number 10. Four teams on bye this week: the Kansas City Chiefs, the Oakland Raiders, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the first week of the game, Thursday night game, we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals. Seattle Seahawks win this game 22-16 with the Drew Stanton-led Cardinals.
This was a fun Thursday night game. I know Thursday night games suck. Everyone hates them. Doug Baldwin this past week came out, said how crazy it was. Ben Roethlisberger already this week saying how crazy it is. Everyone, it sucks. Get over it. Like, this is your job. You're getting paid millions of dollars to do it. The NFL realizes that it sucks. The fans even say they hate these games, but it still does a ton on the ratings schedule. So deal with it. They're not going anywhere. Regardless, with this game, listen, the Seahawks go out there, do just enough. Drew Stanton throws the ball 47 effing times. Adrian Peterson got beat down like his son. It was embarrassing. Larry Fitz.
What?
Why is that funny? That wasn't a joke.
It shouldn't be funny.
Don't laugh at that.
I know it shouldn't be.
That's not funny. We don't condone child abuse here.
Jesus.
Anyways, Larry Fitzgerald goes out there, and if you are a Larry Fitzgerald owner in a PPR league, you are thrilled. Looked fantastic, even without a touchdown. Puts up over 20 points in full point PPR. Good for him. Outside of that, you know, Jimmy Graham owners, you're happy, and that's about it.
Russell Wilson is balling out right now. He made one of the greatest backyard football type plays I've ever seen in the NFL. And this dude
give Baldwin credit on that too.
Well, yeah, but Russell Wilson did most of the work.
Oh God.
He juked like eight guys, but
eight guys.
I feel bad for Russell Wilson. His O-line is still horrendous. Dwayne Brown, they brought him in. They traded for him from Houston. He got a little banged up in this game, but the biggest thing for Seattle right now in this game was losing Richard Sherman. And that loss, a lot of people probably aren't thinking of it this way, but that helps Russell Wilson. This team's going to be involved more in shootouts. They cannot run the football. So don't be surprised if Russell Wilson is averaging close to 300 yards passing per game, along with his normal 20 to 40 rushing yards. He's a legit top three quarterback for me the rest of the way. If you have him, hold on to him. If you don't have him, trade for him.
Two things. One, I am shocked, honestly, that the left tackle offensive lineman, who is extremely overweight and took off the first 8 weeks of the season, is now injured. Shocked. Super surprised. Did not see that coming at all. Also, Richard Sherman, no matter what you think of him, dude's a badass. Goes out there, walks off the field. I know Chris Collinsworth highlighted it 85 effing times. But he walked off and telling you, yep, tore my Achilles, out for the year. Just telling people, giving people high fives, hugs, go get them. You know, How do you not love a guy like that on your team? He reminds me of, like, A.J. Pierzynski on the White Sox growing up as a kid. You hate him if he's not on your team, but he is a team player. He's the guy that players get around. He will be there on the sidelines helping run that defense for the rest of the year.
Well, you did bring up the point about the Thursday night games and how a lot of these players don't like those games. Well, with the injury to Richard Sherman, I'm just asking, do you think that the only way to play the Thursday night games is if you're coming off of a bye? Do you think that should be a fair assessment?
No, and no. All these players bitching, their bank accounts aren't bitching. And they're the primary beneficiaries to Thursday night football. They're getting, I think it's 57% of all income from Thursday night football is going into the players' pockets. And they're making more off Thursday football games than they do on Sunday or Monday football games.
I don't care if they have to play every other day with their helmets on backwards. I don't care. You are going out there taking a risk for a huge reward. It is a risk-reward situation. Now, if the league wasn't doing things to protect players, they've already babied it down like crazy. I hate to sound like an 90-year-old grandpa here of the back in my day, but how drastically this game has changed in terms of player safety in the last 10 to 15 years. I mean, it's unreal. It's unbelievable. The players have gotten a much, much bigger piece of the pie. And there's a huge focus on player safety. Shut up. Just shut up. What you play on Thursday, what, once a week? I don't know if there's any teams that ever play twice on Thursdays. I don't think so.
I believe it's everyone just plays once. Yeah, I know. Every team's mandated.
The Patriots, maybe, because they opened up week one there. So maybe they will. I think they might have another Thursday. Regardless, I mean, just get over it. It's football. Get over it.
Next game, we have the New Orleans Saints beating the crap out of the Buffalo Bills. A lot of people actually had Buffalo as possibly winning this game outright. They were an underdog, but New Orleans wins 47-10 with the greatest running back ever. No, it's not Barry Sanders. No, it's not Jim Brown. It is a combination of Mark Ingram, and Alvin Kamara. That's how much I remember their names.
I think this this speaks a lot to the mentality change in New Orleans. Regardless of how good either of the teams are, what their records are, if you are New Orleans and you go to a place like Buffalo in the cold and just outrun them, that's phenomenal. Buffalo still has a great defense. Yeah. To go out there and do that. To do that to a Buffalo defense that at times has been sack heavy, maybe not the best rush defense. Maybe I'll back it off there. But they've created a lot of turnovers. They've been able to put pressure on the quarterback. Not the best rush defense, but to go out there and embarrass to have a 37-3 lead going into the fourth quarter.
If you gave me the stat line for this game, and it was no players' names next to it, and it was 18-25 and 184 passing, I'd be like, all right, that was Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
If you give me 21-131 and 3 touchdowns, I'd be like, all right, LeSean McCoy. 12-106 and a touchdown, I'd be like, maybe that's stretching it for Mike Tolbert, but I could see that because it's Buffalo and they run the ball. And then whoever Trey Edmonds is, I don't even know who that is because I love running backs that don't mean anything, but he ripped off that 41-yard touchdown run. Buffalo basically just mailed it in at that point in time. But regardless, that rushing attack is looking mighty, mighty good without the one Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, right now, New Orleans, if you look back, they had probably the best draft, the best 2017 draft. They got tons of playmakers, tons of studs, and you have to pay attention to what they have been doing across that offensive line. They've added Andres Pete a couple years ago. They traded for Max Unger, got Ryan Ramczyk this year, who was playing. They have a lot of top-tier talent on the offensive line, and that is showing, that is paying dividends, and that's what's making that defense play so well right now. They are barely on the field. They're pretty much taking the playbook from the Dallas Cowboys of last year. They're keeping their defense fresh, and they're winning football games. And there's been, I think it's like two teams in the last 20 years that started 0-2 and won 6 straight games. Both teams won the Super Bowl. So the Saints won the Super Bowl. It's over. It happens every time.
The what's making the difference on this defense, you talk about the draft. One, Marshawn Lattimore.
Yep.
Fell much farther than he should have. Goes there, already has over 30 tackles, has a couple interceptions, has a forced fumble, has a touchdown. This guy is a difference maker. You're going up against the Jameis Winstons, the Matt Ryans of the world. And he's handling his own. He looks fantastic. Something that the New Orleans Saints have not had in over a decade.
One game I'm looking forward to is in Week 12, where we're going to see the flex. Rams versus the Saints.
It's just flexed.
That game. Oh, yeah, that game will be something else.
Yeah.
But regardless, one thing I wanted to touch on the other side of the ball for the Bills, we have Kelvin Benjamin. He's finally playing for the Bills. He sat out last week. And I'm sorry, I saw Tyrod Taylor throwing him the ball, and there's just multiple times where it looks like Kelvin Benjamin is, one, not running 100%, and two, looks like he just does not care at all.
He doesn't care. There's no way. You guys thought he was fat in the offseason last time. Now that son of a bitch is in Buffalo? Oh my gosh, he's going to look humongous. He's going to look like Dwayne Brown. He's going to be so bulked up, it's not even funny. Listen, the Bills have had a nice little run here in the beginning of the year, but they're going to come back down to earth, and they're going to be the Bills. You know, they're going to compete here and there, but they're a 500 team. Best case scenario, they're a 500 team, and it's going to be that way. I feel like we're going to end up seeing Nate Peterman here down the stretch.
Which I think that's fine. I think you got to see what you have in him just to go. And if you don't have anything in him, then you know you have to draft a quarterback.
By the way, I'm going to nominate him for the douchiest name in sports.
Why?
Nate Peterman. That just sounds like a total douchebag.
Next up, we have the Green Bay Packers going to the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears lose this game 16-23, and many people can blame John Fox for this one. Not many times does it happen where your quarterback, or I'm sorry, your coach challenges a play, wins the challenge, and then loses the ball after that.
So, after that, I was so fired up after this. I went out, I'm like, I'm going to argue with somebody. And I was just mad. And I saw someone just had hashtag Firefox. So I then went into a debate about the best internet browsers. And I said it was the Internet Explorer. They said Firefox. And then I was like, oh, they meant fire John Fox. And I couldn't agree more. The guy's garbage. He's trash. Listen, he's at the end of his career. He's old. He doesn't care anymore. He knows that the Bears aren't going to extend him. He knows that odds are going into the last year of his contract that it's just not going to work out. The Bears are going to let him go. Whether that means giving Vic Fangio the reins for the final year, you know, they let them go into next year, be bad, and then fire John Fox midseason, let Fangio take it from there. Maybe. Maybe that happens. Maybe they try to bring on a John Harbaugh. Maybe they try to entice a John Gruden. I don't know. We talked about it and off the show or one of our other shows. I don't freaking remember. But, you know, do we really – is there anyone out there who is an offensive mind to come in? You know, as a Bears fan, this is the biggest time since I've been a fan, since I was born, so in the last 30 years, for the next head coach. Because you finally have your quote-unquote franchise quarterback, right? You fucked it up big time with Cutler. Coach after coach after coach, coordinator after coordinator after coordinator. Now's the time. Now's the time to figure it out. Is Jim Bob Cooter the guy? Is John Harbaugh the guy? Who is it? I don't know. I don't know if the guy's out there, in all honesty.
I have a couple sources that told me that they are probably going to trade their first-round pick for Chuck Pagano. You know, over his career, he's over 500 as a coach.
Shut the fuck up.
That'd be great for the Bears.
You know what? But you're fucking... coach is bad, and your fucking quarterback is out getting stem cell research, out trying to figure out how to reattach his fucking shoulder to his body. So you keep Chuck Pagano and your fucking Colts comments to yourself, buddy.
You could have Chuck. But Mitch, it was good to see little young Mitchell come out and throw the football more than 8 times this game. The Bears put a lot on him in this game, and he kind of let them down. But we were talking about this in another episode, but this situation, it does remind me of Goff last year in the Rams, what was going on there with a defensive-minded head coach. They need to get an offensive-minded head coach in there, and I think that'll do wonders for them. The Bears dropped the ball, though. This will probably be better off for the franchise to win a to lose this meaningless game. They have no chance to make the playoffs, but I was shocked. Hundley made a couple impressive throws, and right now Devontae Adams is the number one wide receiver. It seems like him and Hundley have more of a rapport than Jordy and Hundley.
The two things I will say is, one, this proved to me that Fox should be fired, because if the Packers are going to beat you with their backup quarterback and their third-string running back, that's just proof that your head coach is not doing what he needs to. And Kyle Fuller is the biggest piece of hot fucking garbage I've ever seen on the defensive side of the ball, and I can't wait for him to be cut.
Yeah, the big stories out of this game, Aaron Jones went out with an MCL sprain. He may be out 3 to 6 weeks. Ty Montgomery left the game again, but he did score a touchdown, 54 yards rushing. He is questionable for next week. Jamal Williams carried the rock 20 times for 67 yards. Came on very good in relief for the Packers there. The other side of the ball, guys, Tariq Cohen only getting one rush. And what is it, only one catch out of the backfield. I think that is not the best of moves for the Chicago Bears. I know we don't think he's the greatest of players, but regardless, when he gets the ball in his hands, he is an electric player. Is he not?
They should be finding a way to get him at least 10 touches a game. They don't have that many playmakers. They lost one of their best receiving options, or they've lost like three of them.
Yeah.
And they're relying on Dontrell Inman, Trey McBride, me down this week.
And Inman did okay. He had six catches for 88 yards, targeted eight times.
Yeah, and 18 drops.
But the thing is, with Tariq Cohen, and I think we saw it very well the week before with the Chicago Bears, is when you get Jordan Howard going is when you have to take Tariq Cohen on that backside reverse to get the defense flowing that way, and then you can see Jordan Howard busting out of the backside of the line there.
Like, to your point, and I am the farthest from a Tariq Cohen supporter, but when you have Kendall Wright and Dontrell Inman as your guys, how are you not trying to see what Tariq Cohen can be? How are you not trying to find a way to find that thunder and lightning with Howard and Cohen? How do you not? Why are you not trying to do that? Why aren't you every single two of the three downs? If you're going to go three and out the whole entire game, why aren't you two of those three plays? Do you not have Mitchell Trubisky, Tariq Cohen, and or Jordan Howard and Adam Shaheen in on those plays? It makes no sense. Why wouldn't you do that? This is the time. You can literally go out there and try to do whatever the fuck you want. You could just make up a play off the top of your head. Now's the time to do that. Stop trying to make these just, oh, well, we're going to add in this guy and piece this. Stop piecemealing shit together, you morons.
Next up, the Cleveland Browns going to the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions win 38-24. And this game was actually pretty decently close going into the half. Cleveland had the chance to actually tie the game up and went for a quarterback sneak on the 2-yard line, or maybe like 1 3/4 yard line. Deshaun Kizer actually audibled to the quarterback sneak.
They're tanking.
And basically it was just a joke, and then they ran up to the line to try to spike it. And the Detroit Lions did the greatest, let's just lay on them until they make us get up. And they ran out of time. They couldn't snap the ball to spike it, to kick the field goal. But the Lions win this game 38-24.
This is...
Browns are going to Browns.
And this is like when I told everyone preseason that Deshaun Kizer was a joke. This is the perfect example of Deshaun Kizer being a joke. He is a very gifted physical athlete, but the mental just isn't there. It's just not there. I saw, who was it? Didn't LeBron come out this week as well? You talk about piling on. LeBron came out and said, yeah, Myles Garrett's great, but they fucked up not drafting Deshaun Watson. I mean, God, why? Why would you even say that now? Like, it's not ever... I mean, for you or I to say that, that's one thing. You're fucking LeBron James. Why are you going to add insult to injury like that? You're already the Browns. You haven't won a game this year. Won one last year. It's embarrassing. The Lions did the Lions. The game was close, but only because the Lions played down to their competition like they always do.
Plus, our defense was pretty good again.
Yeah, I played him this week in a couple
weeks. Getting those turnovers.
Yep.
Offensive side of the ball for the Lions, we have Amir Abdullah siding, 11 carries, 52 yards and a touchdown.
Finally.
Finally scored a touchdown. Golden Tate scores a touchdown, 97 yards, 6 receptions. We have Kenny Galladay catching 2 balls, 64 yards. Eric Ebron siding for a touchdown. And the American Idol, what is that? The American Idol, what is he? Contestant, Marvin Jones Jr. Did you guys see that at all?
No.
Yeah, he was on American Idol. He's got a recording studio in his basement. He loves singing. He's actually pretty good. He's actually not bad.
He's not pretty good.
He's probably not that good. Otherwise, he'd probably be on the show, and he wouldn't be still playing.
He was on the show.
No, yeah, just because. It's like that Japanese guy who... terrible, so they put him on.
William Hunt. How that guy didn't do porn after that?
He should have.
You're that ugly, an Asian, your name's William Hung? How don't you? That's a natural porn star name. But oh no, to tell us credit, listen, if he didn't even make it to the judge, like, if they were like, oh yeah, you're good, go back and work on your vocals. Like, no, like, fuck you suck. That's what they're saying. You suck, go play football, idiot.
No, I think he made it through.
Probably not.
Did America vote him off?
Is that why he only had one catch this week?
I didn't watch the show. Maybe he's focusing on...
You can't come to us and say, hey, he's pretty good and not know the facts.
I'm just saying. Regardless.
Listen, what I will just say is Detroit Lions, I'm calling it right now, week 10 of the NFL season just ended. If you do not draft a running back in the first round of the 2018 draft, you are fucking idiots. You've secured your defense. They look good. They look good. I love what you've done on the defensive side of the ball. You still have Matthew Stafford. You have weapons. It seems like Stafford finally has a rapport with everyone, wide receivers, and even Ebron is slowly coming along. It's proven that Riddick and Abdullah aren't the answer. This running back class is stacked in 2018. There's probably 6 to 8 guys who are going to play a role on an NFL team. In the 2018 draft. Draft one of the best ones, please, you morons.
If they can get a Darius Geis or even a Damian Harris, I would love, absolutely love both those guys in Detroit system with Jim Bob Cooter if he doesn't leave to become the Bears head coach.
Tim doesn't like that. He doesn't like Jim Bob Cooter.
I mean, listen, our team's a joke enough.
Why are you so picky?
I'm not picky.
You're a Bears fan.
Right. I'm tired of mediocrity. I've literally lived my whole... Do you realize...
So you want Vic Fangio. He's a great defense coordinator, but it's the same thing, just like teams that try to give Wade Phillips a shot. Keep sucking at being a head coach.
You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. Right now, there's not a...
No, he says he wants Vic Fangio, not as the head coach.
I don't want
Vic
Fangio to leave.
Said he wanted him as a head coach and bring in an offense coordinator.
Well, you're an idiot.
My point of bringing him is making him the head coach is he's going to leave otherwise. Okay. He's not going. Well, you should. You should. He's proven over and over that he's one of the best defensive
minds. You know who the defensive coordinator of that Bears team is? The field. That's who it is. They know what they're doing.
That's smart.
Yeah. They don't need Big Bang.
Listen. It doesn't matter. The Bears are a big enough joke. We don't need a guy named Cooter as a coach. Okay.
Next up, we have the Cincinnati Bengals going to the Tennessee Titans. Score 20-24. Tennessee Titans win this game. Marcus Mariota throws for 264, a touchdown interception. Andy Dalton, 265 and 2 touchdowns. Joe Mixon with a touchdown. Derrick Henry with 52 yards rushing. But the story of this game is the running back, DeMarco Murray, 14 rushes, 42 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then also 4 catches, 30 yards, and a touchdown. Very happy if you are a fantasy owner of one DeMarco Murray.
I'm going to say it now, and I'm going to say it again in a later show. If you are a DeMarco Murray owner, especially in any type of dynasty league, trade him right now. Right freaking now. Because Tennessee is still going to be up and down throughout, and Henry's going to get his run. He's going to get it here towards the end of the season. He's going to get his play. DeMarco Murray will not be a Tennessee Titan next year. He's old. He's aging. This is a great week for him. I'm not taking anything away from this week, but this might be one of the last shining parts of his career. Downhill from here. Get rid of him.
For me, definitely disappointed with Henry. Like, I think everyone in fantasy football community, especially guys that play Dynasty, want to see him take over. I feel like he's getting the chance, and he's just not doing enough with it. Murray's kind of been hobbled most of the season, and real disappointed with the Bengals once again. You know, Joe Mixon playing great in the first half, and they give him like 3 touches in the second half. And they're in the football game the whole entire time. And I really feel bad for Joe Mixon. He continues to make splash plays. But when you watch him play, he's getting hit pretty much normally within 1 yard of him taking the handoff. It's not good. It's one of the worst numbers in the NFL. The one good thing about the Bengals, they are good at drafting for need. So most likely they'll probably double dip on offensive line early, and it's an extremely good interior offensive line class and has a couple top end tackles as well. So I feel like they'll be able to get 2 starters, and Joe Mixon will be high up in my rankings again next year. Hopefully he doesn't disappoint.
The good thing with Joe Mixon is Jeremy Hill did opt for IR to get surgery, I believe, on his ankle.
Yep.
So Joe Mixon should go up in rankings from here on out. Also, another guy on the other side of the ball that I want to talk about is Smith, Jonah Smith. What do you guys thought? What are your thoughts on him? Because we see Delanie Walker, 9 targets, 6 catches, 63 yards. If there is a decline in Delanie Walker because he has been hurt, I think Jonah Smith is actually looking very, very good as a replacement for him eventually in the next year or two.
Oh, yeah, 100%. There's a good chance next year he's the guy.
It's going to be very similar to, I don't know necessarily if he's going to be the guy, but how Chargers, why am I
Hunter it? Henry.
Hunter Henry and
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates, how they've kind of played out and waiting for him to hit whatever goal he has in mind, and then once he does, it flips a switch.
Adoree Jackson also had 3 carries for 30 yards, but they weren't your traditional lining up as a running back. There was option going on with the Titans here with Mariota, going back to the old Oregon days. It was pretty, I don't want to say impressive, because Mariota took some big shots while he was running the ball, but Adoree Jackson, when he got the ball in his hands, he looked pretty electric.
And Mariota got hurt again.
Yeah, I don't know what. Shame on the Titans, man.
They shouldn't be running like that.
Listen,
if you want to give him an end around, that's fine. But for him to run a blatant option so he can get crushed because you are taught to kill the quarterback if he still has the ball because he's an open runner, shame on you guys, because you have just done the cardinal sin right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't get it. I don't. A guy who's struggled with injury since coming into the league, he's been severely hurt a couple of times now. Why set him up to fail? This is supposed to be your franchise guy. He's, in my opinion, you know, talking about a guy who's been compared to Joey Harrington pre-draft. He's overachieved since coming into the NFL, and you're setting him up to fail. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Next up, Pittsburgh Steelers go to the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts almost won this game, Tom. I was rooting for the Colts. I wanted them to win, and the Steelers pulled this one out at the end of the game. Very upsetting. Jacoby Brissett actually looked really good. I was pretty impressed with him almost all game long. And then we just saw the Steelers take over at the end, and it was just very, in my opinion, disappointing, because I thought the Colts actually had this game.
Yeah, at one point, the Colts were up 17-3. Kind of a shocker. The last 3 times the Steelers have played the Colts, they've blown them out, dropped. It's been over 30, I believe, in each one of those games. But Brissett, he's getting better week in and week out, and the Steelers kind of laid an egg in this game, but got to give props to the Colts. This is their 4th game that they've lost within, I believe it's under 4 points or less. So they have been in games, and if Andrew Luck was playing, they'd be over 500 and would probably be in the
playoffs.
They would be.
Schmuck.
You don't think if Andrew Luck was in this game, they wouldn't have won? They lost by 3. They would have beat the Cardinals. They would have beaten the Titans.
If Aaron Rodgers was on the Bears, they would have 8 wins.
Pierre Desir, is that how you say him?
Desir.
He actually played pretty well. He was covering Antonio Brown most of the time.
No, Melvin was.
Oh, Melvin was?
Yep.
But he did have an interception. I was pretty impressed by his play. What I did want to talk about, because I texted you guys this originally right before the game was starting, or maybe it was during the game, our friends at 8-Bit Bros on WBLZ Network, they told me that the weather would be a part of this game, would be a factor. And we're going to see winds up to 4 miles an hour. And then I looked
4 miles an hour?
4 miles an hour. My. And then I looked at my TV. I looked at my phone. I looked at my TV. I looked at my phone. I looked around. I thought somebody was punking me. They play in a dome. So I was very, very, very confused. But yeah, so I just wanted to leave it at that. Juju Smith-Schuster, five catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown.
Good call, 8-bit bros, you friggin' dummies.
Juju Smith-Schuster looking very, very good. Not like a rookie, in my opinion. He looks very, very seasoned at this point. He looks almost like a vet out there. Plus, did you guys see his touchdown celebration afterwards?
Oh, great. I loved it.
Yeah, they screwed it up, but they were doing good. So,
Tom wanted to give credit to the Colts. Shocking, I know. I want to give credit to the Steelers, a notoriously terrible road team. That was their sixth away game. Going out there, it's hard to get up going to Indianapolis, the sewer of the United States, and playing a terrible Colts team. I mean, who's going to get fired up to play Jacoby Brissett? Nobody. Get down like that, 17-3, and they're able to fight back, come back, get the win. Now 5-1 on the road, 7-2 overall. That to me, that's very impressive.
What do you think of Chester Rogers, Tom?
He will be the Colts' number 3 wide receiver right now. But okay. He was tearing it up in camp, kind of been injured all season, and this is his first actual healthy game. So it's good to see him go out there and have some kind of chemistry with Jacoby. Because we know Dante Moncrief sucks. Yeah. He probably won't be on the Colts next year, but I like Chester the Molester.
Chester the Molester, I like it. Not. Next up, we have the New York Jets going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers eke this game out 15-10. What a terrible game.
So, Josh, hold on.
It was so stupid.
I didn't get a chance to bring it up to you, and I wanted to. When the Bucs played New Orleans.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston's pregame speech, when he's licking his fingers.
He goes like that.
And over and over. And he's like, you taste that? It tastes like a victory to me. And he starts doing all the hand. Like, that literally made me throw up in my mouth. How, like, as a Bucks fan, how embarrassed are you of something like that?
Him doing that?
Oh, not only him doing that, and them going, then them going out there and getting fucking wrecked.
Well, the Saints are a good team, bro.
But he went out there and he scored like under 5 fantasy points.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Like,
yeah, that's what happens when you get hurt.
Embarrassing. Like, that makes my skin crawl. Honestly, just thinking about it right now. As a Bucs fan, you have to be pretty embarrassed.
Tim, does it embarrass you that same quarterback that was licking his fingers like that beat the shit out of your team?
No, not really. My team sucks.
Yeah. Huh. Well, the one good thing is...
my team's not supposed to be good. You guys both picked the Bucks, I believe, to win their division. And they're 3-6.
You picked the Falcons. Yeah,
it's not good. The one thing that I did like about this game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is Chris Godwin got 5 catches for 68 yards on 10 targets. He is a rookie, but at the same time, I think this is a game where, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick felt comfortable throwing him the ball because no other wide receiver besides DeSean Jackson got over 4 targets. I thought Adam Humphreys, this was a sneaky daily fantasy play, and Adam Humphreys disappointed. So the Chris Godwin right here with Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think it's going to have a good chemistry, and only good things can happen from this when Mike Evans comes back. So I think it's going to be a very good trio of wide receivers, and then throw in a little bit of Adam Humphreys, and then you still have Cameron Brait. And we know that Cameron Brait and Fitzpatrick loves throwing him the ball.
Brait's falling off here a little bit, though, it seems like.
I don't know about falling off. We'll see how it goes down the stretch. It's tough when your quarterback goes out with Jameis Winston, and then now you're going to have Fitzpatrick coming in. 2 games in a row now. I think you're going to see Brait still get some targets.
And you got to think of who was lining up on Brait in this game. Remember, the Jets just drafted 2 very good young safeties, and they've been doing it all year. They've been doing a pretty good job at limiting tight ends and limiting running backs, and he just had this case of Jamal Adams this week. It happens.
Robbie Anderson, is he the real deal, or is he just a product by, hey, you're the only guy?
Wide receiver is so messed up this year. It makes absolutely no sense. Somehow, T.Y. Hilton's wide receiver 4. And he's had 3 games where he was fantasy viable. So, no. I don't think he should be drafted in the top 10 rounds next year. I don't think he's going to be a building block for the Jets.
Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse. There's been numerous guys there for the Jets. You know, going into next year, you're talking about wide receivers three or four.
Next up, we have the Minnesota Vikings going to the Washington Redskins. The Vikings win this game 38-30, and one Case the Great Keenum throws the ball 304 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions, and there was at one point in time in this game, Teddy Bridgewater was putting his helmet on, getting ready to go out there. I'm glad that we did not see Teddy Bridgewater go out there because I felt like Case Keenum should have finished this game out. But I think it's a very good case or a good argument to see who will be the starter from here on out. I think we're still going to see Case Keenum next week, but after that, I think it's a very open discussion.
I think they have to rely on Case Keenum right now. Look what he's doing. I know Bradford started the season for them, but since, week two, Case Keenum's been the guy, and they are well above 500, tied for second best overall record in the NFC right now. They are competing for a championship. They got a good defense. They're able to run the football. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, best 1-2 punch at wide receiver statistically in the NFL right now. So he's doing something right. And four touchdowns. It's a great game for him. You don't want to see those two interceptions, but they got the defense and the run game to get the job done on a normal basis.
Teddy Bridgewater needs to be the quarterback of this team. Case Keenum.
You think this week coming up, week 11?
I would.
It's tough when this team is 7-2.
Tim, you should put your eye patch on, like Zimmer.
I think if there's another loss,
yarr, matey.
I think you can make the argument because you want to still strive for the playoffs.
Listen,
but at this point in time, I think you have to ride with Case Keenum.
Yep.
Listen, you can't. I get that he had four touchdown passes, but you can't ride mediocrity. Four touchdown passes isn't mediocrity, but just barely 300 yards with those two interceptions, still a QBR under 100. Not bad, not awful, but Case Keenum is at best a game manager. That's why Case Keenum has been what he is. Teddy Bridgewater, if he's healthy, if you truly believe that he's the best quarterback, which the Vikings do, you have to play him. You have to give Teddy Bridgewater the opportunity to go out there. If he looks as good as everyone says that he looks, why wait? Because you know what's going to happen is the Vikings are going to wait too long, and they're going to lose one, and then people are going to say, oh, should it be Bridgewater? Should it be Keenum? And then they're going to lose another one. And, oh, okay, now we're going to bring on Teddy Bridgewater. And, okay, now it's too late in the season. You're approaching the playoffs. We're making a playoff push. But we're trying to fight off the Lions, and the Packers are still involved in it. No, now's the time. It's week 11. You got a solid 6 weeks. When it comes to playoff time, who would you rather have playing for you if you're the Vikings in the playoffs? Case Keenum, who's average at best, or Teddy Bridgewater, who's now had 6 weeks and is the better quarterback? You have to be thinking long term here. I get that you're 7-2, but no one, it's not like Case Keenum has blown you away. And the reason I say that is a perfect example is the Georgia Bulldogs. You guys know I'm a Georgia fan. Jake Fromm, right? Jacob Eason was their starting quarterback to start the year. He gets hurt. Jake Fromm comes in. Average, has some good numbers here and there, but they let him play. And once that running game's taken away, he gets embarrassed.
I think the biggest stat that I see with Case Keenum here is that he has only taken 5 sacks all year long. And it's not a huge statistic, but at the same time, I think it's a very big one because if you throw Teddy Bridgewater in there, I don't know if he's going to be able to scramble out of those situations. And I think he's going to have to take the sack, and you're going to lose the yardage and pretty much go from a 2nd and 10 to a 2nd and 17. Where you see Case Keenum here, he can scramble. He can get out of the tight situations. We saw it this last week as well. And I just think right now, I think he's more healthy than Bridgewater. I think he's more agile, and I think he's better for the team. That's where I'm at. I mean, you look at Case Keenum. He has less sacks than Kevin Hogan for the Browns. Kevin Hogan, how many games did he play? 2? 3? He has less sacks than Brett Hundley. Well, Brett Hundley is only a handful of games
that
in.
That doesn't have anything to do with Case
I'm just
Keenum.
Saying, he's just got less sacks
you
overall.
You know what? There's 4 offensive linemen in the NFL right now who have given up 0 sacks this year. I believe the number total is 4. You know how many Of those players around the Vikings, two. Two of the Vikings linemen have given up zero sacks. The Vikings have a great line. That's why, exactly why I believe Teddy Bridgewater should get that opportunity. They have people to protect him.
White guy from Vikings had a huge game. Just to let you guys know, my pick right there. I like Adam Thielen. Very good game. Next game, Chargers versus Jacksonville Jaguars. Overtime game. Jacksonville wins this game 20-17. What a weird game this was.
Absolutely crazy. The last couple minutes of this game were absolutely nuts. We saw the Chargers relying on one Austin Eckler at the end of this game, and that came out to bite them in the ass. He had a better overall fantasy day for the Chargers. He led the team in receiving yards, tied for the lead in reception. So if you're a Melvin Gordon owner, probably shouldn't be too nervous. We've seen Eckler kind of explode like this. I think he's had one or two good games like this. But Gordon's still the guy you have to own. But I was impressed with how the Chargers played. You know, we've seen the Jaguars, what that defense has been able to do to teams. And Rivers didn't look that bad. He had over 200 yards passing, two touchdowns, had a pretty good rating overall. But tough loss for them. They've been kind of hot, and we've seen them. It's been the last couple of years just find ways to give games away.
Chargered. They did exactly, you know, they should have won that game. You know, they're 3-6 now. They could have been 4-5. Hell, they very well could be a 6-3 team.
Tyrell Williams also dropped a touchdown in the end zone.
Yep.
Hit him right in the hands.
It's just, it's embarrassing. And somehow the Jaguars are 6-3 and Blake Bortles sitting back saying, "What's up, fellas?"
What do you guys think was the biggest mistake for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but realistically, they should have lost this game.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the biggest mistake? Blake Bortles throwing the ball for 51 times. Yes, that's not a misquote. 51 times. Or Leonard Fournette only running the ball 17 times.
Or hand in hand.
You act like 17 times isn't a lot, though. If he wasn't averaging 1.9 yards per carry, I guarantee he would have had over 20 total touches, probably close to 30, especially in a game like this. He needs to produce. He was facing a team that's not known for being great against stopping the run, and he couldn't get the job done. That offensive line couldn't get the job done. Leonard Fournette needs to get back on track if this team wants to be a serious contender in the AFC.
So I disagree with you a little bit. It can be a lot in the right situation.
1.9 yards per carry is not a lot. I don't care.
I'm not saying the 1.9. You said that 17 carries was a lot.
It's a good amount.
And I just agreed with you, if you would listen to what I say.
Tom's yelling.
Jesus Christ.
Tim's about to say something dumb again.
I'm not.
Shocker.
I'm saying that the 17 carries can be considered a lot, but when you have someone that the head coach hates as much as Blake Bortles throwing 51 times, I don't care if he's averaging 1.9 yards per carry. Blake Bortles should never, ever be throwing over 50 times in a game, or even 40 times in a game for that matter, in a close game. If you're getting blown out, it's a different story, but in a close game, that should not happen. Listen, I get the Chargers, you know, front four are very aggressive, and you know they did their job, their front seven even, but at 1.9, I agree Fournette has to get back on it, but 51 times out of Bortles, that's on the coaching staff.
This is more of an off-season question, probably later on in the season, but I just want to ask you guys, Jacksonville, their defense looks legit. I don't think you need to add any other pieces. If you do, then that's a big benefit right there. Obviously, I think that, or maybe we all think that they should add a piece to the offensive side of the ball. You just added a running back with Leonard Fournette. Maybe you add an offensive lineman. Maybe you add a quarterback. If you had to add a quarterback, we got to imagine they're going to be a later pick. What quarterback fits the system?
Alex Smith.
Oh, you were wrong, sir.
No, perfect fit.
No, yes. I will tell you the perfect fit.
Oh, God, here's something dumb again.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
He just got traded to the Niners. You think they're going to give him up?
Well, he's going out of contract, so unless they franchise tag him.
Which they will. Which they just gave up a second-round pick for him.
Which they should, but
theoretically, they could probably trade him.
Say they work out a deal where what you're telling me that they want to work out a deal for the Jaguars' first round pick, where they could then draft a rookie quarterback and then have the Jaguars' first rounder as well.
I'm shaking my head because that statement was as dumb as you saying that the Patriots would pay two quarterbacks close to $20 million next year. Because you did say that in the offseason. Me and Josh wanted to slap bet you, but you didn't have the balls to take that bet. But it's not going to happen. Jimmy Garoppolo will be the quarterback for the Niners next year.
Okay. We'll see.
All right. Next game, we have the Houston Texans going to the L.A. Rams. Texans lose this game, of course, because they're terrible. 7-33, and Jared Goff looks like Joe Montana out there. And he threw for 355, three touchdowns. His quarterback rating was not perfect, but it might as well have been because he's just looking like a baller.
I really don't think the Texans lost this game. I think Mr. Bobby Woods won this game. He had like a 90-yard touchdown. That's what you got to call him. It's Bobby 94. Woods sounds way better than Robert Woods.
When I saw them throw that ball from the 6-yard line, I'm like, why are you guys throwing it? And I saw him catch it. I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, it just makes no sense.
Back-to-back games of Jared Goff just going ham on the NFL. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks be able to do that against Houston. But you have to be impressed with how this offense is playing. One of the best offenses in the NFL right now with a second-year quarterback that a lot of people labeled as a bust going into the season. It's extremely impressive.
It is. And to build on that, Todd Gurley only had 11 carries. 11 carries, and they went 33-7.
Yep.
Did not see that happening. We'll see really what Jared Goff is made of. Coming up this week in Minnesota, that'll be a very
awesome game.
Big test. Very excited for that. So and then, like you said, a couple weeks they play New Orleans.
Yeah,
so
back-to-back games. Vikings, then the Saints. Yep. Two huge games back to back.
Very excited, and I don't know if you did see though, embarrassing on the part that stadium in Los Angeles. I mean, like a quarter filled. A fucking joke.
We'll see if they have another home game coming up. I think we may see it a little bit more filled now that they're going to maybe get another win under their belt. We'll see.
It just proves what a joke the NFL is. Hey, we haven't had a team in LA in 20-plus years. All right, let's bring two in.
Will Fuller, broken ribs. Just wanted to point that out to him.
Makes me happy.
Yeah.
Still, like, caught like 100 times many points as Braxton Miller.
I don't know. It's probably...
It's not even remotely
close. Did Braxton have a touchdown this game? Or was that... No, that was Bruce Ellington. Never mind.
Tim keeps bringing up bets from last year, but I'm whooping him this year.
No, you're not. Perkins, Wayne Gallman. Only bet you won this year.
No, you also bet Kelvin Benjamin versus Devin Funchess, which was crazy on my part to take Funchess. And you also took OBJ, and I took T.Y. Hilton.
Ooh.
So I beat... Killing you.
Next up,
betting 1,000.
Dallas Cowboys going to the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons win this game 27-7. And, Dak Prescott threw 30 times, 176 yards. Alfred Morris ran the ball 11 times for 53 yards. And with no Ezekiel Elliott, the Dallas Cowboys look pretty mediocre right now.
I don't even think losing Zeke was the biggest deal. It was losing Smith, their left tackle. We saw Chaz Green get absolutely demolished. He was the reason that the Falcons won this football game. Who's the jamoke that sacked him like 84 times?
Claiborne.
Yeah, there you go. And
six sacks.
That got Claiborne $750,000.
He is now a Pro Bowl player probably because of that game.
Absolutely insane. Not even the best pass rusher on the Falcons, but he just stole that dude's lunch money all day. And that was the biggest... Losing Smith was the biggest deal for Dallas. And now, most likely, he's probably not playing against Philly this week, who has a great pass rush. They're also probably without their quarterback on the defense, Mr. Sean Lee. That's going to be an ugly game. Dallas, their playoff hopes are over.
Adrian Claiborne, 8 quarterback hits, 6 sacks, and he only had 6 tackles for the day. And those were all the quarterback sacks. And they showed a picture of him on the sideline. And he was just sitting there. And they're like, that's a look of a man that doesn't want to go back out there and make a mess out of that offensive line anymore. And then he goes back out there and got another sack. It was pretty awesome.
If you're the Cowboys, you might listen. The league's trying to oust Jerry Jones. Zeke Elliott's on suspension, probably looking at titties on the computer because he can't whip them out in public anymore.
He's out of the country right now.
Probably.
He's not even in country. It's so weird.
Whipping out titties all across the globe. Nevertheless, put Dak on the bench.
What?
Save him.
What are you saying?
Put him on the bench.
Oh my God!
Did you or did you not?
You still don't put your quarterback on the bench.
Their season is done. Did you or did you not say that their season is done?
Dude, you're giving terrible football advice today, Tim.
Did you or did you not just say their season is done?
That doesn't mean you bench your starting quarterback for six games. For no reason.
Yeah. Cough medicine, Tim. Strike.
He's back.
No, he's, you
you're nuts.
You just
you're nuts.
Said
you're nuts.
If your season's, if you say that your season's over, he is your franchise quarterback. You, if you say the season is over, why would you bring Andrew Luck back right now?
If he was healthy, yeah.
You fucking liar.
Why wouldn't you? If he's healthy,
give him some reps. Shut your whore mouth.
Give him some reps.
Reps. Like, he needs reps.
Let's go to the next game.
Bench Dak Prescott.
Oh, my Lord. Next game, the Giants go to the San Francisco 49ers. Giants lose this game, go to 1-8. They lose this game 21-31. C.J. Beathard, 288, two touchdowns, interception. Carlos Hyde, just under 100 yards for the day. And a lot of people were picking Garrett Celek as a streaming daily fantasy guy, because the Giants have given up a touchdown to a tight end every single game, and Garrett Celek put up 67 yards and a touchdown, so pretty impressive. The biggest thing that I saw, Sterling Shepard on that side of the ball for the Giants, 11 catches, 142, and Evan Ingram, 6 for 31 and a touchdown.
Tim, you could go on your Eli Manning benching him for the rest of the year.
That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say props to and our condolences to Marquise Goodwin.
Yep.
Stories like that, you know, you hate and you love. It's awesome. He found it at 4 a.m. His wife had to deliver their stillborn child. He didn't tell anyone, any of his teammates or anything. Still goes out there, plays the game, and has himself a big day. His touchdown was kind of the turning point there in the game. So stories like that, you know, while they are awful, are also super cool. So, that's all I had.
Yeah, I feel really bad for the Giants right now. A lot of people were predicting them to be a contender. They had a great defense last year, and OBJ kind of hurt himself, hurt his hamstring, hurt his knee, you know, banged up.
Hurt himself.
It's just not
the
same.
And I'm
the
one saying dumb shit.
You have been all night. But they're just not the same team without OBJ. Yeah, we saw Sterling Shepard. Those 13 targets are wonderful. 11 receptions, 142 yards are great. But they are not the same offense without OBJ. That offensive line, you can't just ignore your offensive line and just hope those guys get better. We saw last year.
Seahawks
that's what,
did it.
Yeah, well, I guess. But that offensive line, that's the downfall for this team. They cannot protect Eli Manning. He's getting hit way too much, and it's a lost season for them. And most likely they'll have to draft a quarterback next year.
Next up, we have the Patriots going to Denver Broncos. Patriots win this game 41-16. Tom Brady, 266, three touchdowns. Deion Lewis, 55 and a touchdown. Rex Burkhead had a very decent game for himself, 10 for 36. And he also caught a touchdown, 27 yards on his end. And we saw the reemergence of one Martellus Bennett getting claimed by the Patriots. Martellus Bennett telling teams don't claim him. Lies. And the Patriots pick him up and start him after he wanted season-ending surgery. Brock Osweiler looks like shit.
I have one thing to say. Actually, I have two things to say. The first thing is Brock Osweiler throwing the ball out of bounds and nailing that guy in the fucking head is probably my favorite part of this whole week. The second thing is Martellus Bennett is a cunt. That's all.
Did you guys watch the game and hear the broadcast?
No.
So Collinsworth, I love Collinsworth. He's great. You know, you should call him. He kind of predicts the future.
Yeah.
So he's like, Brock Osweiler's playing a great game. Pick. Threw a pick like a second after he called that and kind of jinxed him. And everything just went completely downhill after that. The Patriots just poured it on. They got the special teams touchdown. Saw Deion Lewis. Brian Hoyer's getting snaps out there. Complete ugly game for the Broncos. I think they've lost five in a row now, and it's not good.
The Broncos are going to be in a complete rebuild, in my opinion. They have an aging defense.
Yep.
They have a quarterback problem. They have an offensive line that they've kind of tried to piecemeal together, And even their draft pick is an older guy from Utah.
Garrett Bowles.
Thank you, Garrett Bowles. They got a lot of questions. Obviously, they still have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders is getting up there in age, and Thomas isn't too far off. Was it 3 years away from 30, something like that? He's 27 or 28.
He's getting up there.
So, you know, the Broncos are kind of in a transition period right now. So, I didn't watch this game because I knew what was going to happen. Tom Brady's the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the Broncos suck.
Next game, Miami Dolphins 21, Carolina Panthers 45. And Cam Newton threw for 4 touchdowns. Jonathan Stewart over 100 yards. Cam Newton almost ran for 100 yards. Cameron Artis Payne almost 70 yards in a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey 5 for 23 in a tutty. And he also had 27 yards receiving and a touchdown. Funches, a big day, 92 and 2 touchdowns. On the other side of the ball, Jay Cutler's god-awful, 213, 2 touchdowns, interception. Drake right there, 7 rushes, 82 yards, and a touchdown. Big 66-yard run for him. And also had 2 catches and 10 yards on that side.
I literally turned on my TV. It was the second quarter. Cutler missed Jarvis Landry. He gets up after being hit, and I just see him jogging off the field, and he's saying, $13 million, $13 million, $13 million, $13 million. And I turned my TV off. And that was it. That's all I needed to see in the game. The Panthers did what the fact that the Panthers are 7-3 is crazy to me. I feel like they're the most overrated 7-3 team ever. Cam Newton had himself a monster day, but it's just how bad the Dolphins are. I don't think that the Panthers are that good of a team. In all honesty, their defense is kind of carrying them at the moment. And Christian McCaffrey being the best slot receiving running back I've ever seen. So I think tough times are ahead for the Panthers. They're going to finish probably 2 games above 500.
I completely disagree with that. I think for me, if you're a Panthers fan and they've been playing like how they have, you have to be happy with their record. Normally throughout the season, you see teams peak. And a lot of times it depends when a team peaks. We haven't seen, besides this game, we haven't seen this team play great football like they have in the past. This game, they looked like that 2015 version where they won the made it to the Super Bowl, but they're the NFC representative in the Super Bowl. Cam Newton, he looks healthy. They're able to run the football, something they haven't been able to do all season. And Devin Funchess is better than Kelvin
Benjamin. Tom, you want to make that statement after they beat the Patriots Week 4, 33-30? I'll accept that. You want to say it after a big win against the Lions, 27-24? You want to pull that shit now after a Monday night game against the Dolphins with Jay Cutler at quarterback and Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams at the running back position? Give me a break. At home, nonetheless, that's the time for the, well, this is their best I've seen since the Super Bowl. Keep that shit to yourself. Absolutely not.
If you're the Carolina Panthers, what are you going to do at wide receiver now? Curtis Samuel looking like he's doing a season-ending injury, ankle surgery, I believe, something with his ligaments in his ankle. What do you do there at wide receiver? Because the Bears pick up every free agent wide receiver possible, so it's kind of tough to grab one. So what do you do?
There's a man, you know, he's known to the Carolina Panthers. His name's Greg Olsen. He's coming back. He will be playing in the next game for the Carolina Panthers. They'll be fine.
You hear him in the booth?
No.
He did pretty good. He did pretty good. Not bad. Listen, the reason I say they're going to be 2 games above 500, because I think they only have 2 games left. They play the Jets, Saints, Vikings, Packers, Bucks, and Falcons, closing out the season. They beat the Jets and the Bucks. That's it. They finished the season 9-7.
Anything else, guys? Any other closing thoughts?
No. Fuck Martellus Bennett.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you enjoyed our recap of Week 10 in the NFL. And again, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can always follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at MMA News _ Tim, because he does not believe in the other one. And you guys can always email us PonyKegSports@gmail.com and send us your fantasy questions. So until next time, we'll see you.
Peace.